everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hub World Podcast. Today's episode will have us breaking down today's Nintendo Direct. My name is Mateo, and today I'm joined by...
Dino,
Jules,
and Giancarlo.
Whether you're joining us from YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, be sure to like and subscribe. Giancarlo, it's been a while.
Yeah.
At least in podcast form, you haven't been here.
Yeah, it's great. I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring, and I got stuck on Millennia for a year.
Very great RPG.
Very,
and also a great card game.
There's a card game?
No, there's not. It's a joke. It won best RPG when it shouldn't.
Oh.
It gets lumped in with all these other, it's a great game, and it gets lumped in with every category of everything.
You got me very excited, because I would definitely just get cards of the characters in that game. I am a simp for a lot of bosses in that game.
Well, just wait till you play the card game in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Oh my god.
That's so good. Anyway, enough about card games.
Elden Ring's not available on Switch.
Yeah.
But all these games that we're about to talk about are. Gino, if you wouldn't mind starting up the video, we are going to talk about everything that we care to talk about in this direct. So, and then we'll probably just share like a letter grade or something at the very end. But
what about numbers, like pizza review style?
We give it superstars.
We'll figure it out when we get there.
Okay, whatever. Everyone gives it a different rank. Let's do that. Okay, let's get started.
So, the direct started off with a
Nintendo
bit of a shock, honestly. Like, I don't think anyone really saw this coming based on...
Okay, hold on. I am going to actually interject. I didn't say it yesterday, but I thought it. And I know my thoughts don't count. But I was not shocked when I saw this. Because in my head, I've been thinking, I think Nintendo is testing to see which of their RPG series for Mario is the most popular, and I think that's part of what they're doing right now at the end of the Switch lifespan. So I was like, maybe we'll get a Mario & Luigi game tomorrow. But I didn't say anything because I was like, it wasn't one of my predictions. I didn't actually think we would, but the thought crossed my mind, and then when it happened, I was like,
It said something.
I could have been pretending to be a leaker right now.
Oh gosh, that's funny. But yeah, Mario and Luigi. It's funny that you mentioned that, Jules, because we got Super Mario RPG, which was, you know, what it was. We got Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, which is the greatest Mario RPG ever. And now we have this new thing. And I was surprised. I thought we would have gotten like a remake or something, because I would think that it's less risky to like do a remake or like, but then it's in 3D. It's a 3D Mario RPG. That's something that we haven't had before. Realistically, it's Paper Mario. Mario is 3D, but it's like a pop-up book kind of 3D. Well, this is like more like, I guess, like
this
what
is more
Mario
like it's an animated style, but in. Yeah, like, I know what you mean. And I think that it makes more sense for if they want to try doing a 3D RPG for Mario and Luigi to make this transition rather than Paper Mario.
Yeah.
Like, it makes a lot of sense.
Especially because they were kind of progressing that with, like, the 3DS titles of the games as well. Like, they were bleeding into that 3D aesthetic with the two games that came out on that. Like, you're like playing with like the force perspectives with like the giant battles, and
I just noticed Mario and Luigi have like a surprising amount of jiggle physics in their bellies and in their mustaches and their noses.
I'm so curious who's developing this game.
Exactly.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's people like Alpha Dream they shut down Alpha Dream, but those people didn't leave Nintendo. Most likely a lot of them stayed and were allocated to other teams, so maybe it's a brand new team
Nintendo
that has
never owned
some
Alpha Dream. They never owned them. That was a they were
oh, did they not?
Studio yeah and like the thing is though, like I'm sure it's some random studio. Maybe that has been affiliated with Nintendo before, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like them they found a talent somewhere else. Wouldn't be surprised if it's Koei Tecmo, just because they're behind.
I was thinking it could be WayForward. Could be doing it because they've been doing a lot of stuff. But also, I wouldn't be shocked if there's Alpha Dream like people on the team. Like, I would not be shocked.
Probably. Like,
I paused the video here just because I'm not a fan of the name. It's like, this isn't even a real word.
And Fellowship.
So, Gino, I hated the name too when I first saw it. I was like, that's a weird name. Then Patrick was the one who made me like it because he's like, oh my god, I just realized, I sent him the box art. He's like, oh my god, I just realized. But I was watching, of course it was 7 a.m., I was drowsy, like I wasn't paying the most attention. But then Patrick's like, when I sent him the box art, he's like, oh my god, Luigi has a spyglass, and it's called Brother Ship, and they're on a ship in the trailer. It's going to be like a sailing the seas kind of game. Like, that's what the Brother Ship is.
Instead of a mothership, I guess.
Yeah, it's a brothership.
But
that's more like
aliens and stuff. But why didn't they... Speaking of aliens... Cool. Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, okay, brothership. Yeah.
I'm such a fan.
Let's get this... Let's also say... Let's just let people know, you know, the people out there. We are not shipping the brothers. This is a brothership. Not that kind of brothership.
This ain't Game of Thrones. But yeah, unnecessary.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so like, it's kind of coming back to like the gameplay and everything. It's kind of like more of that traditional Mario RPG, kind of what we saw in Mario and Luigi, kind of what we saw in like the original game and Partners in Time, where it's like, okay, it's like they're just in a wacky world, like doing their own thing. But at the same time, there's, okay, you have your action commands, you have your brother's abilities, okay, albeit you might not have, like, the fire hand or the electric hand. But, like, I like how they're bringing back, like, the action commands, and it seems like because this is, okay, like, they're calling it Brothership, it seems like there's a lot of, like, bros moves and stuff like that. Like, that seems to be more of the focus.
Mm-hmm.
At least from, yeah, like, even right here, like, they turn into a UFO.
Yeah.
It looked like the UFO from, like, from Kirby. If you look, I'm just going to skip to it. Where is it? Oh, yeah, here we go. You can kind of see there's like yellow dots and stuff underneath Luigi there. And Mario's like the dome, Luigi's the rest of the spaceship. I wonder if like, oh, there might be like a submarine or like an airplane or something. I don't know. It seems silly, but that was kind of cool.
No, I see what you mean. No, that's cool. That's something I didn't notice. But I think it
also looks... Look at this. Look at this. Luigi's exclamation mark is an L.
Oh, that's cute. So when I first saw the game, I was like, wow. But then I thought about it, I was like, it's not quite when I have imagined Mario and Luigi coming back for Switch. It's not quite the art style I originally imagined. I imagined something more like Wario Land Shake It, like a moving cartoon. And I do think that would have worked best if they stayed 2D realm. But considering they've moved toward 3D, I actually think it's stunning how good it looks. Like, how well they've translated the Mario and Luigi art style into, like, a 3D visual aesthetic. I think it looks really, really good.
It does, yeah. But it's just, I don't know, the weird, like, it's just the colors are a little too much. At least for my personal taste. I'm sure it'll play well. I'm sure the story's gonna be absolutely hilarious. And, like, I've even noticed something with these guys here. These guys are power plugs, like wall sockets and things. Yeah,
the sound,
even
sound.
The bosses and, that they fight. Yeah, it looks like a plug in the trailer. He like that boss has a power plug motif as well.
Yeah, but electricity and water don't mix. You're not supposed to do that.
Well, like we won't know like to the extent of like because it could just be that they're part of one specific world as well. So like,
yeah, I guess so. Yeah, there's that's the boat. But it's also an island.
It's got a light bulb on the top. It's the brother's ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
I've watched this direct probably. This is probably my fifth time watching it already, just in various bits and pieces. But the art style has grown on me every time I've watched it. And I guess, like, it coming out in November, that's a really good time for it as well, I think. Like,
yeah. Where was the date?
It's probably November 7th, I believe.
Yeah, I remember
Thursday.
That.
Like, Nintendo now is sticking to releasing these games on Thursdays, so... But yeah.
It's interesting. It's going to be fun, and I feel like more Mario and Luigi is good.
It was a great surprise to start the direct off.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think that if what they are doing is testing the waters... for which RPG to continue, it's going to be a tough...
As long as Paper Mario and Mario Luigi move on.
I'm okay with two of those IPs. I love Super Mario RPG. Let that remake just be the remake. Okay, give us Mario and Luigi, give us Paper Mario, keep those directions going.
I agree.
Thank you.
The hub world as a entity agrees with that, Giancarlo.
I would hope so, because I said it on behalf of the hub world.
I'm the only Gino... The hub world is allowed to like...
No. And make a new Super Mario RPG just for the sole purpose of if a new one comes out and has different party members, then those different party members can be the new relevant party members, and Gino will fade into obscurity.
I knew that was just going to get brought up, that whole tangent was just going to shit on
Mallow is better. Mallow is better.
I agree. Mallow was better.
Anyway, do we want to talk about the NES championships?
We'll talk about it a little bit, but like, we know this game is coming. It's a cool little game. I don't know if I'm going to... Actually, it's cheap, right?
Yeah, it's a discounted game. I think it's $64.99 Canadian.
Wow, that's discounted. Holy cow.
That ain't discounted enough.
I
think for games like Kirby that actually have like a little bit of meat to their bones, like Kirby, Metroid, Zelda, and stuff like that, I think it might be a decent enough price.
These
are literally like almost 30-year-old games.
Yeah,
I know, but this is presented in a really cool way. I'm actually really happy Nintendo makes games like this that like sort of play into the like the pseudo like speedrunning competitive like. Speedrunning community. I think it's really cool. Like, this is basically like a better version of NES Remix, in my opinion. And it's a party game. Yes, 100%. Now, so I can't wait to play this. Like, there's nothing really new shown in this trailer, but it's just a nice reminder. The game is coming out July 18th. I don't think we've actually talked about it on the Hub World podcast. So, but I have the special edition pre ordered.
Oh, yeah, here it is.
Yeah.
I got this.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's a cool. I think that this is a cool collector's item.
Yeah, and I love how they have expressly say NES Game Pack replica and not playable. I think that someone would.
Somebody will mod like an NES cartridge to
something, play
something
like this.
I don't know if it'll be able to run on an NES, so.
It definitely wouldn't.
No, not this specific version of it, but it's like something similar enough, right? Because like they had the original NES championships, it had to run on original hardware, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the original NES Championship games, the three games that are on there, they don't operate the same way as these games do. Like, it's they're not the same. It's not like these little bite-sized things. It's longer form. Like, the entire championship was only three games. So,
yeah.
You know, kind of talking about original hardware, I'm really curious to see how close to the original games these different versions are for the NES edition, because like in history, Nintendo's actually been kind of not friendly to speedrunners. They've taken away a lot of glitches that speedrunners use in their games, like in Super Mario 64 and Metroid Prime. So I'd be interested to see how much of like the original strats for these different kinds of games that they're putting onto the edition actually stay in the NES edition as compared to the original hardware.
I would assume it's unadulterated, but yeah. Anyway, let's keep going.
I think we got some headliners here.
Skip.
No, Giancarlo has to talk about this one, doesn't he?
Skip. I am saying skip. Just because I'm a simp for this anime doesn't mean I'm going to be talking about how terrible the game is. Skip.
Yeah, I was going to say it. It's funny because Mateo and I were watching it, so I'm like, hey, Giancarlo has a backpack of this anime.
I said skip.
Okay, we skipped. We want to skip this too.
When I saw this, so okay, I want to talk about this. So when I saw that, I was like, is this Nier?
That was like the first thing. Yeah, I jumped out of my seat for a second when I saw that.
So this game is a little bit of a big deal in the sense that it is Sakaguchi's game. It's the return of Nobuo. So, you know, like, there's a lot about this game that's cool, but it also is on mobile. It's clearly a mobile game ported. Like, you can see that the graphics are mobile.
Yeah, it was exclusive to Apple Arcade.
And if I'm being honest, I love Final Fantasy. I don't care for Sakaguchi. I never have. I think Final Fantasy got better when he left. So, I actually don't care about this game. But that being said, if it gets good reviews, I'm probably going to play it. So,
yeah. It even looks like it is built for like touch control. So I wonder if you'll actually have to use like, okay, you can use your gamepad or can you actually use like the actual exactly. You can probably use the touchscreen feature for this or your Joy-Cons.
You know, I'm just going to say because I'm probably not going to get another chance to say it. We need a Lost Odyssey HD. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Okay. It actually wasn't.
Do you want to talk about Switch basketball?
I mean, let it go. It's so small. Yeah. So when this came up, I was like to Adrian, I'm like, see, we could get more boards for Mario Party Superstars because if they're updating this game.
Well, the difference is this game sold better than Mario Party Superstars. But, and also, I don't think it would cost much to make this because it's straight up just Wii Sports Resort. Just like with a coat of paint over it. Like this mode right here, this was straight out of Wii Sports Resort. I spent hours playing the basketball in Wii Sports Resort. I loved it.
And you can spend more hours.
I have the game. I'm definitely gonna try it out. I really like Nintendo Switch Sports.
Yeah, those are those games where like, so those are those rare games where I was like, hey, I'm, because now I can talk about it since I don't work for them anymore. But when I worked for Nintendo and they gave me games for free, this is one of those games where I'm like, I'm glad they gave this one to me free because I wouldn't have bought this one, but I'm happy I own it. Okay, can we talk about this game?
Yeah.
Yep. This game.
So this is Electricity. Is it like what was this one again? I don't remember.
It's called Mio. Now it is a cool game. From the very beginning, I was like, this feels like it's trying to be Ori. Down to like when they announced the name and it was Mio with a subtitle, I was like, three letter word that also has O and I in it.
I think that's a coincidence.
It does look really cool. It does look really, really cool.
I love like the hand drawn backgrounds. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I think it has really more cool of like a, I think it has more of like a Hollow Knight.
It does feel. Have more of Mateo a Hollow Knight feel. It does have more of a Hollow Knight like art, but the like when you we're not listening to the music right now, but the music is very Ori.
Yeah. It was funny when we were watching the direct, first thing that came into my mind when I saw this game is like, oh, people are gonna be upset. There's no way Silk Song's gonna be in the direct if this was just shown.
Yeah.
It sort of scratches the same itch in a way. I know they're not like
Hey! The whole this looks a lot more hopeful. It's not a sad Metroidvania.
But those are the best Metroidvanias.
I
want a Metroidvania that makes me feel empty.
I mean, it is sad. It is sad, but it's not sad in the sense that, like, it's no sadder than Ori.
Yeah, Ori's also sad. Like, what is it with these Metroidvania games and just, it's all about, like, sadness and loss and stuff? Like, I don't get it.
Because Metroidvanias, like, historically, right, are...
I know it's all about isolation and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's about isolation, right? Like, and tragedy is at the core, right? Like, tragedy is at the core of most Castlevania games and most Metroid games.
Yeah. I don't get it. Moving on.
Gino doesn't get sadness. He's always happy.
No, not always happy. Cartoon classics? Let's see. Okay,
remember when we said we were going to play this and then proceeded not to?
I have been playing it. I haven't gone through it, but I've been playing it with Patrick. It is good. Don't get me wrong. It's good, but there's no combat in the game. It is like the most platforming platformer I've ever played, because there's no combat. There's still enemies and there's still bosses, but the bosses are all like platforming challenges. Like, it's really interesting. It's actually not bad. Now this, no, wait, go back. Go back.
Yeah, go back to Hello Kitty Island Adventure. I've been waiting for this for a while.
I'm not kidding. When I saw this, I was so hyped because I wanted to play this game and it was mobile only. I want to play. This is Animal Crossing with Hello Kitty.
The fact that this game exists and is called Hello Kitty Island Adventure is...
It is the greatest reference ever.
It's beautiful.
If nobody understands, look it up. It is so funny, the fact that this game
I think exists. I see this game, Jules. I see Hello Kitty Island Adventure. You think of two things and two things only. You think of South Park, and you think of World of Warcraft. This game and World of Warcraft are linked.
I understand what you mean. That is pretty funny.
I love it. I love it.
But you ruined it, Gino. You had a nice, perfect pause on Lola Bunny there.
Yeah. Everybody get up. It's time to
slap. It's not the original one. It's not the original one.
This game looks terrible. Oh my god.
No, the game looks so good. I literally saying to Adrian, I'm like, this game looks so good. And he's like, this looks like the biggest pile of dog crap I've ever seen. I'm like, but it's Looney Tunes.
It looks like a PS2 game. Like, I'm sorry.
This looks like all of the
games. Self-shading done wrong.
No, hold on. This looks like all of the GameCube and DS sports titles of the Mario series wrapped up into one game, and I'm totally there for it.
Like, look at this Porky Pig. Like, what the hell?
Giancarlo, you gotta watch the video, like this trailer, but with the sound on, and then it'll make you reconsider, because the voiceovers are terrible.
That makes it even better. I'm a person that watches terrible movies.
Porky Pig's eyebrow, like eyelids,
are
completely different layers.
It's so.
I say he will not be there.
The thing is,
release the anti-woke cut with Foghorn Leghorn and Pepe Le Pew.
Oh my gosh.
The fact that Game Mill Entertainment is making this game alone is just enough. That's enough
to release the pew cut
to tell you that the game is going to be terrible.
Yeah, so, skip Among Us. We don't need Among Us.
Among Us is going to turn into the next Skyrim where it just gets put onto everything.
No, Among Us was the thing that leaked the Direct.
Yeah, we need
to thank Among Us. It was the thing that leaked the Direct. Yeah. That's the only thing good about Among Us.
I still think that we should have played Among Us more. I feel like we would have had a lot of fun with it.
There are better games that are like Among Us that exist.
There are. Ultimate Chicken Horse is better than Among Us. I'm just going to say
They recently released an update to Ultimate Chicken Horse. They added a raccoon. I'm sorry. They already had the raccoon. They added a penguin, I think.
This game is weird. Look at this.
This game is so weird.
So this is one of the many farm games. Felicidad.
This is the one that bugs me because, like, I was watching the direct.
Guy's name is Ken.
The fairy tale thing, and I'm like, wait, did the fuck? Wait, why is Hero doing? Why is the artist for fairy tale doing another game?
It kind of gives me Monster Rancher.
He's doing karate chops on the plants, and a foxtail plant turns into an actual fox. Like, what the?
it's kind of like a Pikmin meets Monster Rancher meets like.
There's too many genres mashed together in this game.
They're capitalizing on PowWord success.
It seems like there's just too much happening. Like there's like, oh, I have to farm the animals to fuse the animals to battle the other things to then farm more animals. There's like five, and then we're gonna battle with each other. There's like
a dragon.
Yeah, exactly. There's just too much stuff happening. What if you just want simple potatoes?
Viva Pinata meets Pikmin meets
Pokemon.
I don't know.
It's a farming game, and farm is in the title, unadulterated.
What was that game again? Wonderful 99.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah, Wonderful 101.
Keep going. Wonderful 101. Yeah, because like of all the animals like grouped up together. That's what I initially thought about it. I am hyped for this.
This is great.
It's okay. I literally, when I saw it, I was like, new Donkey Kong Country, and then I saw the Tiki, and I was like, oh, old Donkey Kong Country.
It's fine. We get
a It's fine. It's a very good game. I own it on Wii and 3DS, so I can't justify buying it a third time personally.
I'm just wondering if we have to shake our Wii remotes in order for Donkey Kong to run. If we do, I'm not buying it.
I was waiting for them to say, and now with new funky mode.
Oh my god. Missed opportunity.
Is that right?
I'm sure we will see this game.
Hey, Woodkong's here.
We will see this game again before it comes out. There'll be another direct.
No, I don't think there's a new funky mode. I think this game is literally just
they added a third heart for each of the Kongs, so it's you're getting a 50% health buff. Hey, and Diddy is at least in this game.
True, and then they're also but they're also adding the 3DS levels, which is really cool because those levels are really awesome, and they've never been in the like best
graphics
version of the game, you know.
But they did improve the textures on Donkey Kong. They gave him fur in the Switch version of Tropical Freeze, which makes me think Retro is probably the ones that made this game. Like the re-release. I think so.
I don't think so.
I think so. I got a little bit of a theory. But I don't want to spoil the end of the direct for our.
Isn't it a game theory?
We're not affiliated with them. We haven't sold out yet. Anyway, one thing that bothers me about this is why January? It's like done.
Because they need games. The new Switch, the Switch successor is probably not coming out till very earliest March next year. Yeah. And especially if it's backwards compatible. It doesn't matter if you release games all the way up till it comes out, because these games, you can play them on the new system anyway.
Honestly, I don't think this year really needed Donkey Kong to be in it. I think going into this direct, we knew nothing, but now we know so much.
Yeah.
I'm very excited that there is at least a little bit of Donkey Kong love, because you just never get enough of it.
Happy 40th Donkey Kong, you get a reused game.
I love. When he said, take a look at this, I was really, really, really waiting for him to then talk about the Donkey Kong theme park or the Donkey Kong movie. And then they showed this, which is, don't get me wrong, this is unreal. This is literally, in my opinion, the game of the show. It is absolutely beautiful. Like, this is the Dragon Quest game, right? Like, this is the game that basically created job systems as, like, a standard in many RPGs. It is the Dragon Quest game that literally made Dragon Quest popular. And what's really, really cool, as like, not to spoil the direct, but after this, they're going to show you that they're also remaking Dragon Quest 1 and 2. I really like the idea that because Dragon Quest 3 is actually a prequel to 1 and 2, they're releasing 3 first so that you can play the story chronologically. They're also recognizing that 3 being the big favorite, but also being a bigger game, warrants its own release, whereas 2 and 1 and 2 are smaller games, so they're going to pack them together as one game. And I think that's a really... Look how beautiful it looks. Like, this is beyond just, like, Octopath. Like, honestly, Octopath isn't this beautiful.
I thought there was going to be a 3D game for it.
There is Dragon Quest 12 coming. That is in development, but this is Dragon Quest 3, right? Like oh my god. Like,
we're getting a 3D.
No, 2D HD. It was always 2D HD. No, it was always...
I'm excited.
Right, this image right here of is...
That's so cool.
Yeah, like, that's going to make me play the game.
That date right there, that's going to kill the Mario & Luigi franchise once again.
Yeah. Oh, it's the same release day, yeah.
People can get two games.
A week later. Magnificent.
So we have Trunks, we have Frieza, Vegeta hybrid, and then we have whoever the hero of two is.
And know what the best thing is? The Erdrick trilogy also goes beyond just these three games, right? Like, Dragon Quest XI is also kind of the epilogue to these three games. So it's really, really cool.
I want the slime!
I know, it's great.
It looks like, honestly, you compare that the visuals of that game to Octopath, like, it is more than just a 2D HD game. Like, it is so beautiful, this game. This is what I would want for Chrono Trigger if they ever remake Chrono Trigger.
I think that's the only way to do it. That's the only way to do it.
Has to. It's the best. Honestly, 2D HD is brilliant as a style.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely brilliant.
Yuji Horii's getting a little old there, huh? Feel a little bad.
He'll be fine.
Why does he look like that one guy from Despicable Me?
I see it too.
Oh, no way. I know who you're talking about now. The Vector? Old scientist guy, yeah.
But why does Yuji Horii... Why does that guy look like Yuji Horii?
I was excited about the Funko game, but not so much anymore.
It's so funny because I literally messaged Patrick yesterday and I was like, so are we getting the Funko game and playing it together? And he's like, yeah. And then we're watching this and Adrian had never seen this game before. And he's like, this game looks like shit. And I'm like, and I was laughing.
It's so true, though. Like, it looks so
it
terrible.
It does look really bad. It looks like a bad Lego game.
And there's a Lego game in the direct, too.
Yeah, the Lego game actually looks really, really good.
It's the camera's terrible in this, and it just looks like...
I'm sure it only looks bad because it's running on a Switch. I love like, if they show this trailer for like Xbox or PlayStation.
They already did.
I love I gotta pause for a second because like I love the idea that they went for the over the shoulder idea for like a third person shooter-esque mechanic, but because the shoulders are so small compared to the head, it just takes up the entire left half of the screen, which defeats the purpose of aiming.
And it's beyond that. Okay, the idea of Funko Fusion as a game is a cool idea. Can you go back? Sorry, Gino, just while I finish the thought. Like, it's a cool idea as a concept. The idea of like, okay, Funko is such a big, big, big thing, and like everything it has a Funko. So the concept of the game of like, let's mash up all these crazy worlds and make a game using the Funkos is a cool idea, just kind of like how Lego Dimensions was. But the problem is the properties. The problem is that it's like classic movies like freaking Jaws and Jurassic Park mixed with shit like Five Nights at Freddy's and It. And I'm like, those are weird, like, there's weird, it's a weird grouping. Like, there's nothing big enough to actually, like, make me be like, oh, okay, I want to play this. Everything's just kind of like these cult fan things, and they're, like, really, they don't really blend well.
That's what kind of Funko, like, markets to, right? Like, they started off by just doing, like, random cartoon characters and cereal box mascots. It was always like random niche stuff. And then eventually they broke into the traditional popular culture, but they were always like weird side fandoms. So this does fit their brand. It's just, it doesn't fit us.
I will say, Jules, the moment that they come out with the Avatar The Last Airbender expansion for Funko Fusion, you're going to have an entirely different take about this game.
Yeah. I think you overestimate how much I like Avatar The Last Airbender.
I don't think I overestimate that at all. I think I have a pretty good idea.
Okay, anyways, moving on.
Yeah, the game's going to be terrible, so...
Whatever. It'll be interesting.
Shadow the Hedgehog were playable.
Oof, different story then.
Oh, that's true, yeah. That would definitely...
Spooky,
even
silly, and strategic.
Oh my god, what is it going to be? Oh my god, it's
so spooky, so scary. 3-4 different mansions, all very different.
Mario. I'm looking forward to Mario. Playing this game.
I am looking forward to them adding games to the voucher system so that I can buy this game digitally. I am excited to play this game again. I haven't played it since it came out, and I love Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah. It doesn't look like there's going to be anything new added to the game aside from the enhanced visuals.
Oh, God, these things.
What game is so... Oh, my gosh.
Are we going to keep talking about Luigi, or are we done?
No, we're fine. It's Luigi's Mansion 2 Electric Boogaloo. Yeah, let's go with the other one.
The new weird man in... This game actually... looks absurd. Like, this is like terrifying, this game. Like, what is this?
The new Dempo Man
game, but it's not. I thought like this was like a Mii game.
Yeah, it looks like it almost reminds me of Find Me a little bit. But it's a weird game.
But of course everything has become Animal Crossing now.
Together catch.
They need to make a new element. Find Me meets Animal Crossing meets Mario Party
meets
Fever Dream.
Now this is cool. This game is cool. The Metal Slug tower defense game.
I've never understood Metal Slug. I thought it was supposed to be like serious.
Metal Slug has always been a fan. Well,
Metal Slug is typically like a run and gun, but this is a tower defense version.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. Don't get me wrong, I won't buy it nor play it. But kudos to the Metal Slug fans.
Yeah, I'll
I know one
person for someone.
All 10 of them.
Well, yeah. I know this one Don Carlo want to talk about.
Oh yeah. I'm happy for Darkest Dungeon 2. The Darkest Dungeon series has always been like it needs to be an on the go kind of series. And I was a huge fan of the first one. Still haven't played the second one just due to budgetary reasons, but now that it's coming out on the Switch, I think this is the perfect home for this kind of game. Because, like, it's a very hardcore turn-based RPG, a lot of cool mechanics that go along with it. Just any RPG, I feel, it has a home on a mobile console. And, yeah.
I'm excited for this, low-key.
I am. I think playing this online will be cool. That's the first thing I thought about when I saw it. I was like, just for Four Swords. I think it could be cool to play this online, Four Swords. It's short. Zero Mission, this is a fantastic game. Like,
an affordable way to play it.
This is the biggest, like, pop-off moment for me in the Direct. I've been waiting for that game to be added for so long. It's my favorite Metroid game.
One game popped up in my head. One game was not shown today, but I do believe that the fact that they made a separate app for this means that it will come to us one day.
Well, they've had the 17 plus app in Japan
since I think came out. Perfect Dark, this is a very cool time to put Perfect Dark on here, especially with the announcement of the new one. Especially with the online multiplayer.
This is definitely online Microsoft saying, hey, remember this, and they're capitalizing on the success of the Switch. And people will go in and try Perfect Dark 1 to see what the new Perfect Dark is about. I have no idea or care about this thing.
Yeah, but I'm really happy. Like, I've played a little bit of Metroid Zero Mission this morning because, like, they went live right after the Direct, essentially. And I'm surprised, though. Like, I wanted to come out of this Direct knowing a little bit more about what's to come for NSO, but we still don't know anything more than what we did coming into today. So
I feel like they don't really give us slates anymore. Like, I feel like the only time they've ever really given us slates is when they announce a new app.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we're going to get slates anymore.
I am really excited to play Turok on the expansion pack, though. That's going to be wild. I'm wondering how the aiming controls are going to be in comparison to the N64. But like,
we can still play with the N64 wireless controller, right?
Yeah, so but, it'll be exactly but the same. I don't have an N64 wireless controller.
The one thing I wanted to mention before we move on was, so I downloaded the N64 17 Plus app thinking, oh, all the games will just be available in this app because what's the point of having, like, aside from like parental reasons, why would you have to have both apps installed? So I go to download the 17 Plus app. I open it up, and it's literally just Turok and Perfect Dark.
Yeah,
I don't have the other games in there. Like,
That's why I think there's going to be more. They wouldn't have made a separate app if there wasn't going to be more. I would be shocked. Like, all the if other Conker...
I just want to have one N64 app. I don't want to have to manage two apps.
Or are you going to have to? And then Conker's coming.
Okay.
Oh, well.
All right. We're skipping the one right at,
We're skipping this.
Okay. I have no idea what this game is.
Frame rate is awful. Boom. This is hype. This is so cool.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these games were trapped, right? Like, that's the thing that's really exciting about this. It's like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was trapped. And also, it's so funny that the intro to this, we missed it, but like the intro, they were like, we're going to take you for a ride. I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, this is all
they play it right here in the audio version.
Yeah, and like, but this is cool because all the Capcom games, right? Like, the X-Men fighting game, it's the Marvel fighting game. Marvel vs. Capcom fighting game, the Marvel vs. or X-Men fighting game. And it's also the Punisher beat-em-up, which is really, really cool.
Is that an arcade game?
It is an arcade game, yep.
Mm-hmm. This will be fun. Yakko would really like that game.
I know Phil will really like this.
Yeah, Yakko and Phil.
Yeah, I know. Like I talked to Phil. Phil's very excited. Now, this is the game of the show. Let's talk about it.
Yep.
I'm so excited about this game. I kid you not. It's like they looked at Super Mario Party, then they made Superstars, and then they were like, okay, what can we learn from making Superstars? And they learned. They learned, because look at these boards. Look at how beautiful these boards are. Look at how big
the shopping mall is. These boards are. Such a good idea.
And they're so big. Cool.
And then look right here. The star costs 10 coins, but if you listen to the thing, in that level, there's flash sales where the coins are half off, which means that that coin was half off, which means that the stars are 20 coins like they're supposed to be, which is hype. Mm-hmm. There's the kart racing thing. There's the Goomba Lagoon.
That's the only time when Mario Party is allowed to be in vehicles is on that kart racer level.
Yep.
The only time
I'll accept it. That's so cool. And then, look, there's these five awesome tracks or things, and then there's the classic ones, right?
Yeah.
So, look, they're really, really cool. I think there's a lot of variety there, right? There's, a Grasslands, there's the cart one, there's the piratey water island, then there's the Bowser one, staple of which is weird, because Bowser's in the middle, but Bowser's also playable.
That's probably, a Bowser mech in the middle, then. Because it also has, a weird purpley aura to it. It's like a statue or something.
Let's take a moment to appreciate the name Goomba Lagoon, because that is a brilliant name. I love that.
That is really good.
Yeah. And then, these are really, really cool levels. And then they went the next step and they gave us two classic levels. And what's really cool is when, in the next segment, when we look at the mini games, there's also classic mini games, which means that this is it's a mashup, right? It's not just new stuff. It's probably primarily new stuff. This is an old mini game.
I can't wait to see Yoshi riding Yoshi.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I can't wait to see Yoshi riding a Yoshi. It's going to be so... yeah, because look, in this mini game, Gino, you're going to see...
Oh, right.
Pause. He's riding Yoshi. Yeah, so at some... Yoshi will have to ride a Yoshi.
Or will it be just Yoshi running?
What I'm hyped about is Super Mario Baseball on the GameCube, we finally get a playable Monty Mole, and I'm so happy about that. Actually, Monty Mole
was playable in Super Mario Party.
It was playable in Super Mario Party?
Yeah, you didn't play it.
No, I didn't. Never
mind. A lot of characters were playable in Super Mario Party.
Diddy Kong was in Super Mario Party.
Cut that from the podcast.
No.
Okay,
look at this. Can you let's appreciate this for what it is coming up right here. That Goomba is using telekinetic powers to levitate a hammer so it can whack it a nail.
We have established that in the Mario universe, based off of Paper Mario, the Goombas have telekinetic powers.
Yep. It's wonderful.
It's crazy.
Playable Goomba is always the best.
The other thing I really, really, really like about this one is a Super Mario Party, all the mini games use the Joy-Con controllers. In Superstars, they didn't use them at all. And this looks like it's a balance, which is really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Nintendo learned.
And these look fun. The mini games actually look really, really good.
Arm wrestling.
110 that's scary. The large amount of mini games I've ever had. And then this mode is really, really cool. The 20 person mode online. Now I'm gonna ask you to pause in a sec, Gino. I'll tell you when. Not yet.
I'm tell you when. Poking.
Pause. Wait, go back to that screen with the leaderboard.
Mario is just using the finger to poke Yoshi.
So cute.
So
if you pause here, so we'll unpause a little bit so we can see all the characters. So if you see here,
it's gonna be tough. Just
yeah, I know. This is the problem about doing it on YouTube. Instead of
just put it at point.
Okay. So if you look at it here, this is 20 different playable characters. So most likely, unfortunately, Mateo, this probably is the roster. I know. It's possible that there's more. It's possible. But yes, it does look like Diddy Kong was removed in favor of Ninji.
Yeah, we can play as Ninji. We can play as Spike. We can play as friggin'.
That is not Spike. That is Grubba.
No, it is Spike. And
that is a Grubba.
It is Spike. And don't belittle Spike, because Spike has been in Mario Party now for like 3 games. Thank you very much. Spike is a staple. Is an
actual named character that's not a generic enemy that there's millions of.
You know what? I'm going to challenge you on this one. I think that Mario spinoff games are defined by the new characters they add, and I think that they always like to add new characters, and I'll be honest. I think that random Mario enemies have more of an entitlement to Mario Party than Diddy Kong does, because Diddy Kong was first playable in Super Mario Party, and that's the only game he's ever been playable in. Whereas random Mario enemies have been playable in Mario Party since, like, Mario Party 5.
As far as I'm concerned, every Mario Party game, if a character has existed in a previous game, they should be in the next game. Being Diddy Kong or Mario or Peach or Yoshi has no impact whatsoever on the actual character, like your actual like experience playing the game. Just put the character in, especially that the characters that were in the Switch version previously, they're not in this. I'm sorry, like it's inexcusable. Nintendo, for whatever reason, hates Diddy Kong.
So, well, there are 4 characters that were in Super Mario Party that are not in this game. From the
Boom Boom and Boomerang, whatever. No,
Boom Boom wasn't it. Just Pom Pom. Boom Boom wasn't playable. Boom Boom, Diddy Kong, Dry Bones, and Hammer Bro are the 4 that didn't make it. Now, there were 20 characters in Super Mario Party, so it is possible that they did increase the size. Like, Super Mario Party had 4 unlockable characters, right? Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong, Dry Bones, and Pom Pom were all unlockable. So it's possible that the roster is 24 characters and there are unlockable characters. Because the other notable one that people are saying is very strange that the character isn't in the game is Pauline. Because she would have made the most sense as a newcomer just in general, with her being added to literally everything. So her absence is also telling of the fact that there could be hidden unlockable characters that we don't know about, and Diddy could be one of those characters again.
I hope so.
Okay, moving on.
But even if he's not, this game will be amazing.
Us Diddy fans are looked down upon by Nintendo these days.
What do you mean? We just got the Donkey Kong. We got the Donkey Kong HD. Are you not satisfied enough for that? Diddy Kong is in that game.
But he was always in that game.
It would be funny if they removed him.
He just removed him.
Actually, according to this, there are 21 playable characters in this game.
Yeah, Bowser.
Yeah, there's 21 Bowser, playable characters.
Bowser was in the blimp at the beginning of the game with the other playable. Yeah, see, there's Bowser.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, Bowser's not here.
Well, that's what I'm going to say.
I'm liking the F-Zero representation.
21 characters. First of all, Ninji's not there, because that's the first thing I noticed, too. At the very beginning of the game, they show all the characters, right, at the beginning. And there's 20 characters there. And Ninji is not there. And Ninji is not here. Which means that Ninji is the 21st character. You're telling me that there's a 20-character mode and they just happen to have 21? No way. Ninji is unlockable and there's other unlockable characters. There's at least one other unlockable character. I would be shocked if there's not 24 characters. I would be shocked if the other characters are not Pauline, Diddy Kong, and probably like Dry Bones or Nabbit. Hammer Bro. Nabbit would be really cool too.
Underrated Nabbit.
Very cool either way. Very fun. I will be playing that day one.
Coming out on my good buddy Yako's birthday.
Now this is another game.
I've heard it's been divisive in the Hub World extended universe.
Yeah.
So like they're going with the Breath of the Wild thing with like here's Link's Awakening Link. Right?
What do you mean they're going with the Breath of the Wild thing?
No, like with the cloak and the cape, right? That was a Breath of the Wild reference.
I don't know if that was so much a reference as a, like, we're gonna, like, in this trailer hide who this is.
I just like to point this out. The fact that Link could like jump and do spin attacks and do crazy things like that. I want to play the game that led up to this moment.
What do you mean? He can do that in these games?
I know, but I like Link's got a different sword, his bow is different. I want to know where this Link has come from, what he's doing.
Hey, my theory is that I think this is either Link Between Worlds Link or this is Oracle's Link. Either way, enough about Link. I'm talking about the real hero of this game, Zelda. Yeah.
It would have been funny if they called it The Legend of Link.
I would have loved that. That would have been so fitting.
It would have been really funny.
I was expecting it not to be called The Legend of Zelda, to be honest. Yeah. But I'm fine with it being called The Legend of Zelda. Because other spin-off games are called The Legend of Zelda 2. Four Swords is different gameplay, and it's called The Legend of Zelda. So,
yeah. But there's a lot that you can see directly on this specific map, and like as Zelda's walking towards the ledge, looking over Hyrule and stuff. Like in the bottom left there, you got like a bombable door. You have water that's kind of like see through. There's islands and stuff in there, so you have to like climb over things.
And like this is kind of like the Breath of the Wild moment, where Link ran onto the cliffside and was looking down upon the kingdom. Well, now Zelda's doing the same thing.
Yeah,
but I'd like to point out before we really get into the nitty gritty of things, just to add a little bit of levity before this conversation, what was a certain game on a certain system that is really terrible?
Would that be Zelda CDI?
Yes, but what's the name of one of them?
Wasn't it
the Wand of Gamelon?
The Wand of Gamelon, yeah.
And what are we going to see Zelda use in this game?
Okay, just because they use a wand doesn't mean it's going to be the same as Wand of Gamelon.
I don't think that's a... I know what you mean, but I think that's more of a, like, Zelda has always been magic-based.
Those games get a bad rap. They're good.
No.
Anyway, continue. Let's watch Zelda kick some butt.
Yeah. Honestly, like, when I first...
part that's actually about to come up right here with these little guards. Oh, no. It's later, I guess.
But, yeah, it's Aonuma. We get to see. I gotta say, first of all, that shirt he's wearing is really cool. Second of all, he's looking good. He looks younger and more fresh than he did last time we saw him. He's clearly getting some sleep.
Unlike Sakurai. I love the little moment there. That's so cute.
Yeah. But yeah, like I was looking forward to the Zelda game, honestly. Like this one here, like it sounds like a good idea. It's a fresh take. And like Mr. Onuma does talk about like how like they wanted to do something different. And like,
but they had to do something different, because here's the thing, because if it was the same, then where does Zelda as a character go from here in playable appearances? Like it needed to be something different. They needed to give her a distinct, unique way of playing, or else what differentiates her?
Try reminds me of the Luma from the Mario movie.
Does he have the force?
It actually looks more like those guys from the Sonic Frontiers.
Yeah, the Wisps.
The Wisps.
No, not the Wisps, those other things. So my actual gripe with this game is I hope that we don't have to play her with the hood on the whole game.
Oh yeah, that would be a little bit annoying, especially because like I do like her model. Like, especially on that cliff scene, like I love how her model looks. I don't want to play with the hood.
Honestly, the Link's Awakening, like the whole art style for that game, I absolutely loved. Like, I love the art direction and stuff of this game here. I love the colors. I love the aesthetic. I love a lot of this.
Go back to the water block, like when she's raising the water. I'd like to point something out when you're done your thought, Gino.
Oh, basically, it's just like, well, you can go and have yours, because like I feel like mine is more of like a springboard into the kind of like discussion.
Notice how Tri has like the little triangles that follow it around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Each one of those triangles goes away once Zelda places a block. So that's going to be a limitation on what you can do
three,
to
two,
solve puzzle.
Yeah, yeah. One. Yeah, and you can kind of see them floating around in the water also. Look.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
One goes away, another one goes away, and another one goes away.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes, but my whole thing with this game is like doesn't look terrible. It looks fan. It looks quite good. But for me, I'm at the point now where I'm just sick of Zelda always trying to break the conventions of what came before. I kind of was hoping that 2D Zelda was going to stay traditional. And now that it's not, it really bothers me.
But see, but I don't think... So I think that's the wrong takeaway from this, in my opinion. I don't think that this is telling of the direction that 2D Zelda is going to go. I think this is more telling of what they wanted to do a Zelda-focused game, which people have been asking for. And yes, they chose to put it in the 2D perspective, but I don't think that tells us where they're going with 2D Zelda as a...
But like, I don't like having to... like. There's going to be a limitless amount of ways to solve puzzles in this game. I just want to have one way to solve puzzles. Why do we have to have...
I don't think that's the case.
Well, no, look, you can put all these different objects and, like, figuring out, oh, what can I pick up? What is something I can't take? Like, having to scroll through all those menus probably to get the thing you want. Like, I just don't know.
How is that any different from Breath of the Wild, though?
Like, here's the thing.
I don't like that in Breath of the Wild.
No. But here's the thing. As I disagree with you, actually. I actually disagree with you on this one. Because if you actually look... the functions of some of these things, it looks like they're more like grouped around, like there's different types of things you absorb, right? So there's platforms, there are blocks, there are enemies, there are flying mechanisms. Like there's multiple types, but they function like slightly differently. So I don't think the puzzles are going to be like limitless. I have like these unlimited ways to solve them. I think they're going to have very key ways to solve them. But I think that which particular platform you use or which particular flying device you use doesn't matter. But I still think that there's going to be very specific puzzling. I don't think this is Breath of the Wild, do whatever the hell you want to break the conventions. I think that the puzzles are actually going to be very, very curated. I also think that the problem with this as the first unveiling is that it's given people the wrong impression, because I think they wanted to show off the Tri-Wand because it's the big gameplay mechanic. I don't think that's the only gameplay mechanic. I think there's going to be more that's more similar to what we know, but this is also an aspect. The other thing I think, I might be wrong, they might not do it, but Link is playable at the beginning. I wouldn't be shocked if they had a second quest when you beat the game where you play as Link.
I hope so. That'd be really cool.
I don't know if they would, just to like take away, like it might take away from Zelda.
My thought is that because you can capture enemies and things like that, Ganon, like you can see like Ganon and Link, and like Link is looking kind of angry and stuff there. What if Link gets captured, Ganon possesses Link somehow, and then you can capture that version, and then that's how you finish the game off. Like how you play in, like in Kingdom Hearts there, the music game where you become Sora instead of play as Kyrie. I'm looking forward to this, don't get me wrong. It's just that like... I don't know, when I think of Zelda, I'm thinking maybe more along the lines of like, okay, what we get to see is Zelda as a playable character in Smash Bros, where like she's throwing fireballs at you and using like...
That is what it is.
In-universe established. But this is her just like swinging a wand.
But yeah, here's the thing. So this is actually what I was about to say, is I actually have the opposite take. What I appreciate about this is I actually feel like they've really focused on what we've seen Zelda be able to do. Because yes, you're right, in Smash Bros. She has those things. But Smash Bros. Zelda is a reference to Link's abilities, not a reference to Zelda's abilities. The one thing that we've seen that Zelda can do and has done is the Phantom. The Phantom is her big gameplay thing. Like, I think that it's really cool that they've made a whole gameplay mechanic around the idea of like summoning, because that makes sense for Zelda as a character. She's a summoner. She's magic based. She's puzzle solving. Like, this game looks like everything is going to be a puzzle versus focus on combat, right? Like, versus Link is more on the combat side with puzzles. Like, I think her whole gameplay mechanic is the puzzling. Like, I appreciate that. I do think she's going to have other things. I don't think she'll have a sword, but I think they'll give her a bow. because that's something that we know Zelda has, is the bow of light, right? Like, I do think there's more to this game than we're seeing, but I think that you just have to look at it as, like, it is not a replacement for 2D Zelda. It is not.
Yeah,
it is not. It is its own thing, and I do really think that there's a lot of potential here. I don't think everybody's going to like it, but at the end of the day, they had to create something new for her.
Exactly.
I think the summoning is a very cool concept. And I think that even when I'm thinking about Smash Bros. Moving forward, if they want to pull from this, that the natural evolution of the Phantom attack can become, like, it doesn't just summon a Phantom. Maybe she has multiple things she summons, or like, maybe she can
copy things that other people like, for instance, you can copy the villager's tree.
Jules, I'm gonna disagree with you on the aspect of, like, the bow on this one, because I think that with the copy ability, it gives you, like, the copying aspect of the game, it gives you a lot of avenues to really change how you approach different enemy types. And we saw that with, like, you summoning the rock in front of one of the Bokoblins. Mm-hmm. He gets his attack deflected, you pick up the rock, and then you damage him. Like, I think it's going to be, the game is going to be centered more like that, where it really focuses more on, like, how creative you can get by summoning, like, these different obstacles and using them in more ways to interact with the environment and interact with
enemies. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's not the case. I would just don't think that the tri wand is going to be the only gameplay mechanic.
It's going to get other abilities. It will.
I do think that there's more to the game than we were seeing. And I think we're thinking Zelda, we're thinking about, like, boss battles, we're thinking about dungeons, we're thinking about that. And, like, this game might not have the same kind of thing.
Like, I'm just thinking about something, Jules, right now, and it's called the Tri-Wand. We've only seen one ability. Maybe there's two other ones. It might be, like, a fire and ice rod that can do, like, a range thing, and it might even do, like, what the Cane of Paki or things like that did, where, like, it can summon a block.
Yeah, exactly.
Or makes you invisible,
Exactly. Yeah, that's where I'm kind of taking the step back, where I'm like, I'm not ready to make a judgment on this game, and either way, it doesn't matter if I make a judgment on this game or not, because it's a Zelda game, so I have to buy it.
That's where I'm at. Like, I'm going to buy this game no matter how bad I feel about it right now. And I'm sure, like, in most cases, the second time Nintendo shows games...
And you know what else you're going to buy, Mateo?
This. But anyway, back to what I was saying.
Are you buying this, Mateo?
No, I'm not buying it.
I audibly, when they showed this, I'm not kidding, it was like, Roxas was on my lap, and they showed this, and I said... No! And Roxas jumped.
Roxas is Jules' cat.
Because he was like, what the hell's going on? I was so mad. I was like, no! I have to buy another Switch system right before the successor comes out. And then Adrian was like, you don't have to buy it. And I'm like, no. I have to buy it. Because you know what happened last time? The Nintendo Switch was coming out. The Hyrule Shield 2DS came out. And I told myself not to buy it because I already had a 2DS, and the Switch was coming out, and I didn't need it, and then I paid double to buy it, and that's because I got lucky, because I should have been paying five times if I was paying what it is on price charting, and this ain't happening. I know in 4 years I'm going to be like, I regret not buying that thing, especially because it's a Switch Lite. Like, I actually think, because the Switches, it's more about the Joy-Cons, this is, like, cool. This is so cool. Which, by the way, Mateo, if you want a Switch Lite for your collection, I could sell you my Switch Lite.
I'm good. But anyways, back to Zelda. Basically, a couple things that I was thinking about when... like, I'm buying that game regardless, no matter how bad I feel about it right now. And also, like, the second time you see Nintendo games, in most cases, it ends up looking a lot better than its initial viewing. Like, Mario 3D World was that way. Mario Kart 8, like, Link Between Worlds, like, all these games that have come before have looked significantly better. And, like, I'm sure we'll have a Nintendo Direct before that game comes out, or, like, they'll do a Twitter drop or something like that, and it's going to show more elements of the game. It'll be more refined. And this is actually another interesting thing that I thought about, because, like, I think Grezzo's making this game. And if it is Grezzo, this is, like, their first brand new Zelda game, like, that's not Triforce Heroes. like Triforce Heroes is very limited in what it was, but this game is really their first kick at the can at like a brand new, fully fledged, like important Zelda game. So that's why I hope it's them. But that being the case, if this game is really successful and like critically acclaimed and sells well, whatever, maybe they don't go back and make previous games. Like everyone wants them to make the Oracle games or like make Link to the Past or whatever, like remake other Zelda games. Maybe they don't do that anymore. And like my whole thing is like the biggest bone I have to pick with this game in particular right now is the fact that it's kind of doing the Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom thing, but for 2D Zelda. And I just wanted to break from that. I wanted just to play
a 10-15-hour
game. Like I understand. I want my hand to be held by Zelda, and like by them saying like no, like Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, that's the way 3D Zelda is going. I'm like, my
to be fair, what they said. To be fair, well, that's not what they said. What they had said before, like I understand where you're coming from about like the idea, like okay, they broke tradition in 3D Zelda, and you wanted some tradition, so that you're hoping it for in 2D Zelda. I don't think this is the new standard for 2D Zelda. I do really think that this is the spinoff, and this is something that they're like, people have been asking for a Zelda game, a Zelda focused game, and give it to them. It's also the end of the lifespan, and historically Nintendo does experimental games at the end of the lifespan or at the beginning of the lifespan of a console, not in the middle, because it's less of a gamble. But like 3D Zelda, they never said that the games are just going to be Breath of the Wild moving forward. They said that the games are open world moving forward, but open world doesn't mean Breath of the Wild. Like Breath of the Wild's structure is not just open world. Like the philosophy of Breath of the Wild was open world, but so open that you can do anything you want at any time. That's not how every single open world is. Like, I don't think that the next game is just going to be Breath of the Wild. Like, they're going to do something different philosophically. They do that with every single game. They philosophically change it fundamentally. You can be handheld in an open world environment. Like, you can have an open world Zelda that's very similar to the past 3D Zeldas. It's just that the world itself is a lot bigger and open. So, I don't know. Like, I do think, though, that Zelda as a series has evolved beyond what it was before, and I don't think Zelda is going to be as prevalent. And I think that's why they're considering this right now. Like, I think that this
I also noticed. I've noticed a few things actually while you were talking about this, Jules, and I wanted to show it off here. So at the beginning, right? Like, okay, so like Link gets captured into that like rift into space or whatever it is, right? Where Zelda gets the water block, it looks like it's inside of one of those rifts. So I feel like maybe she's gonna go in there and start looking around trying to find Link, and throughout this game. And as you said before, it might even be like this is only half the adventure, like you're spending half the adventure as Zelda, half the adventure as Link, or like flip-flopping back and forth.
She's the only playable character in this game.
Link is playable, it's going to be a like second quest. I don't think they would do that to her story. Like, I think it's too big of a deal to make her playable for them to then just be like, oh, but it's also a Link game. Like,
I saw this, right? Because like obviously she's going to be going in there looking for him. There's also this portion here as well where like the void is kind of sucking up things. But I don't know. The more I look at this, the more we talk about it, the more I feel like my initial reaction was maybe a little strong, but this does seem very interesting.
Yeah.
The more I look at it.
Deku Scrub and the Deku Tree.
If you go into it expecting it to be something different, I think you'll be more surprised. Like, I think if you look at it and you're like, oh, this is 2D Zelda, then yes, it's easy to get disappointed. But it's not 2D Zelda. Like, it's using the same art style and it's using the same perspective, but it's not intended to be 2D Zelda. Like, it's its own thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not its own thing. This.
The fact that it wasn't in the Ubisoft show, but it found its way into the Nintendo Direct, like, is
because that's where its audience is. Now this is what I'm excited for.
The good Funko Fusion.
Can't play it.
Yeah. Lego games are great. And our first PlayStation game.
Horizon Zero Dawn as well. I love that.
Yeah. I love this whole world. And this brings me
really good.
This brings me great joy because now it tells me that my investment in the tall neck will pay off because now I'm going to get a Thunderjaw. Now I'm gonna get all the other mechs and everything. I'm super excited.
I also really like the perspective of this game because some of the more like the modern Lego games don't look like this.
Yeah, this is more like the Lego movie perspective.
Yeah, like everything is there's just a lot more energy.
Yeah, and it's also it looks like it's at 30 frames also, or like it's like at like 15 or 25 frames. Like it's choppy, like the Lego movie was. It's like a stop motion.
It's very cool. I do think it looks very impressive. Mind you, I'm not buying this game on Switch.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not. I'm getting it either on Steam or PlayStation.
Also, I won't buy it probably day one, but it does look good. Stray looks good. Definitely downgraded. We can skip Stray, but it is a cute game. It's very sad, though. You will cry in the first 5 minutes when you see the cat fall.
I honestly thought Stray already was on Switch.
I did too, to be honest.
I was a little surprised.
Look, okay, we have Lord of the Rings, Animal Crossing.
This was already known. So I have a big Lord of the Rings fan student who always tells me about the games. And I said to him, I was like, oh, did you hear about the like Hobbit Shire like sim that got announced today? He's like, that was already announced. I was like, oh, never mind.
Could have fooled me. The game just looks a bit too generic. Like, I don't know if that's the right word. Yeah. This seems like Disney Dreamlight Valley, but just Lord of the Rings.
No, it's worse. It's honestly, whoever's greenlighting these Lord of the Rings games, they're greenlighting some bad
the
games.
Wrong ones.
Because like, yeah. This next one's cool, only because Miles Edgeworth's games have, like the first one was released here, the second one was not. So this is actually the first time that one of these games is being localized. So it's really cool. And you know, like now all the every single Ace Attorney game basically is on Switch, which is really, really cool. Except for Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright or whatever it is.
People were saying now, like, the fact that all the games have been they're available everywhere, make a new one. But, like, like Capcom has been, like, this is the second big Capcom collection in this Direct. And just in general, like, all these Capcom collections have just been so fantastic. And they've really like they've reinvented so many of their or not reinvented, but they've brought these like really classic games to a lot of new fans, like with all the different Mega Man Legacy collections, the fighting game collections, the Ace Attorney collections. Like they've done such a fantastic job with those. And I'm really Capcom's just firing on all cylinders these days.
This game, Danganronpa Peoples. New game looks interesting.
I know quite a few people that are going to be happy about this, but I have no personal attachment to the Danganronpa series or anything related to it.
I think we can skip through this.
There's one thing that I was telling Mateo as we were watching this whole thing right here. The main protagonist here is all like, I like everything that's average and normal. Buddy looks nothing average or normal. He's the only one that has like any personality in the hair and face.
You don't live in their world. Buddy is average and normal.
He's got a point.
Also,
you don't know what's normal. Maybe red hair, blue eyed protagonists are really normal in the game.
Oh well, I can't remember what this one was. Okay, it doesn't matter.
This is Saga.
This is Romancing Saga.
Oh yes.
Oh.
And the last big announcement,
baby,
was it 9 years in the making or 7 years in the making? Seven years in the making.
Canceled.
Oh my god! No, wasn't it
2017? I honestly thought it would have been Echoes at first for whatever reason.
Metroid Prime 2, yeah. But yeah, this trailer opened the exact way I've always imagined it in my mind.
It looks visually very, very good.
Samus coming out of the ship, doing an amazing like hero flip and then hero landing, and then the music kicking in, like the Samus fanfare. Like, it's so good. Like, oh my god, what a way to start.
Well, see, I don't think it's the best first tease, but I was also reading something where people were saying that they think Nintendo intentionally gave like a really, really small tease because they don't want you realizing that this game isn't, like, what they're showing us isn't running on Switch hardware. Or if it is, like, this is running on Switch hardware, but like the actual game that runs on Switch hardware isn't going to look this good, like, is it in an early level? Because it's more like natively for the successor.
I don't know. I don't know. Have you played the Prime Remaster? Like, this is pretty close to how the Prime Remaster.
Look at these environments.
Look at the reflections in the bomb blaster.
Yeah. It's not. The models, yeah. I agree
Maybe
with you.
Some of the models are more what I'm talking about.
No. That, Giancarlo?
Yes.
This is not running on Switch hardware. The Looney Tunes game is running on Switch hardware.
No, the Looney Tunes game is running on the GameCube hardware.
Don't get me wrong. No, this is running on Switch hardware. That's not what I meant. I meant Switch that 2. They tried to hide that this game, because basically what they're saying is, like, the theory is the reason they only showed us so little and it was only a snippet from what is very clearly the intro level of the game, is that they think that the Switch version of the game will not run as well. This is an early level, so they were able to, like, make it look like it runs well, but they don't want to show off this game on Switch hardware. They want to show off the full scope of this game on the successor hardware, because that version of the game will run super smooth. So they still want to announce it now, and the game is still going to be on Switch. It's just not going to run as well. It's not going to look as good. But they wanted to limit how much they actually show us running on Switch hardware, because they don't want people's first takeaway of the game to be like, oh, why is this game not running very well?
Yeah, exactly. Because if game bad once, game bad forever.
Yeah, so they really, really curated. They only showed us these, like, very, very, very small snippets of gameplay in, like, the earliest possible level, because when they really unveil it and they show us more, is going to be after the Switch successor has been announced, and they've announced that it's coming to both, and then they're just going to show us Switch successor gameplay. They're not going to show us the Switch gameplay, right? Like, that, that's like they did with Breath of the Wild, right? Like, everything that they showed us for Breath of the Wild was running on Switch. They didn't show us the Wii U.
Anyways, keep the trailer going.
Okay. I'm glad you can scan again.
There's a couple other, like, really cool, like, technical things that, like, I've noticed watching this trailer, aside from, like, the reflections and, like, things like that. The motion capture in the moment when Samus, like, does her little dive in a second here, that looks so good. Like, right there. Like, that looks like,
yeah,
like, even here, like, all the Silex walking
there
out.
He is.
And apparently those might not even be Metroids. I read theories that those are like a different version of Metroid.
I think they are. They're a different color. They're blue.
They're called, like,
they're beyond Metroids.
No, it's like Metroids have, like, three brain things. These ones only have one.
Oh my god. Beyond Metroid. Is this the vegetarian version of Metroid?
the vegan Metroid.
Oh, remind you to look at the text that it says for the guy that was lagged out. That Samus.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, he's gonna die.
But Samus just walks away, lets him die.
The space bar. She probably put him there.
When did Metroid get so political?
This game looks so incredible. Like,
yeah, those Metroids only have one brain thing. They don't have three.
I forgot where I saw it.
They're Soytroids.
But, like, But the amount of reactions I've seen,
they're beyond Metroids.
From Metroid Prime 4, where no one has, like, they're like, who's this guy? He looks so menacing and so cool. I'm like, some Nintendo fans don't even know who this guy is. Like, the amount of.
What's funny about this character, right? Like, he's like a joke, because he is, don't get me wrong, his lore is really, really cool, right? He's ex-Federation turned, like, anti-Fed, like really, really cool. And especially, like, when you think about the placement of the Metroid Prime series being, like, between Metroid and Super, and then Fusion is really where you, like, blow up and see, like, how, like, far gone the Galactic Federation is. Like, he will be a really cool foil to Samus. But he's only appeared in two games prior to this, one being Metroid Prime Hunters, which was a DS game, and he wasn't even the most memorable of the Hunters. I wouldn't even say in the top three of the Hunters, and most people have not played that game. And then he makes, like his ship makes a tiny cameo at the end of Metroid Prime 3, friggin' 17 years ago, and then he makes, like, a tiny, tiny, tiny post-credit cameo at the end of Federation Force, which literally nobody played.
We played it, and it was good.
Like, they've had this plan for this character for, like, 20 years, and they're only finally getting to this story. It's crazy.
Now, what year did it say it was at the beginning of the trailer?
2090X. Yeah, something like that.
20X9.
Yeah, 20X9.
Yeah. Apparently, some people were saying that, like, this actually might take place after Metroid Prime 3, obviously, but, like, it could be happening between certain games in, like, the 2D Metroid genre. With timeline stuff aside, without to confuse our audience and confuse myself, this game looks incredible. And I don't know why I was initially surprised that the game had a subtitle. I'm like, why does it have a subtitle? Then I realized, oh, yeah, Metroid Prime 2 and 3 both had subtitles. Yeah, the trailer keeps going, Gino. There's more stuff later on after
Takashi. I just like the logo.
Yeah.
It's like the Millennium Eye, except purple.
And this definitely is like Metroid Prime 1 vibes. The music.
The birds. I wonder if
they brought the original composer back to do the music. But yeah, 2025. Can't say I'm surprised, but...
Yeah, when we learn more about Switch 2, then yeah.
We've waited this long for Metroid Prime 4. It's restarted development. What's another year at this point, right? Like, it...
I'm deep diving into this timeline stuff now.
Yeah, there you go, Jules. That's your post-podcast homework.
For the next Hub World episode, going over the entirety of the Metroid timeline.
Yeah, who knew the Metroid timeline would be like as convoluted as like the Zelda timeline or the Kong family tree? Like,
yeah, you stole that one from me. I was going to say that.
Yeah,
not compared to Zelda. Zelda's a whole other vehicle.
Yeah, and that's one thing we didn't even get into. Where does Zelda fit on the timeline at this point? I don't know, but I'm excited.
Oh, God.
I mentioned what I thought, but we'll not open that can of worms. We maybe just as a final thing, let's go around the table and rate it out of whatever metric you want to rate it. Giancarlo, begin with you. What do you give this?
Oh dear God. I give it 2.9 Triforce triangles out of 3.
I will say this is a good 90% of DK's Banana Horde. Definitely, like, a good Nintendo Direct.
Who's the professor dude from Big Brain Academy? What's his name?
Professor Loeb.
Dr. Loeb. I think if Dr. Loeb were to grade this Nintendo Direct, I think he'd give it an A-.
I thought I was going to come in and be the only one giving it a decent score, but now I'm realizing I think I'm giving it the least score, because I think this is a solid 8 out of 10 Direct.
Dang. Not even a creative way of ending it off? Just 8 out of 10? Okay. You give it a Mario Galaxy 2 out of the Mario game? You give it a Majora's Mask out of all the Zelda franchises?
A nice 5 out of 7 Chaos Emeralds.
Okay, I'll go with that. That's on brand.
Yeah, I was telling people, I'm like, the Xbox conference was an A. I can't say this was better than the Xbox conference, and for me at least, so I got to give it just slightly under. So that's why I went to A-. But
Xbox was 4 out of 7 Chaos Emeralds.
What are you talking about? That's your Sony bias.
I'm in agreement with that. Happy for Fable, happy for Doom, nothing else.
But anyways, That brings us to the end of today's episode. If you liked what you heard today, hit that like, subscribe, or follow button. If you want to contribute to the conversation, let us know any ideas you have for any upcoming episodes. Tell us what you thought about the Nintendo Direct. How would you scale it? We'll see you next time at the Hub World. Microsoft, make a new Banjo game. See you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Wahey!